Good morning, dear fish hookers. It's a joy to be with you again in your lovely congregation. The task of every preacher is to get you hooked up with Jesus. Preach Jesus is what we've been taught. It's a job worth doing, even if it's done poorly or badly. And so even for us who are poor preachers, we have this one simple but privileged task: preach Jesus. Psalm 111 bursts out with worship for our God. Great and glorious is He. To Him belongs eternal praise. He provides. Holy is His name. Awesome is His name. And then the psalm ends in verse 10 with a very famous phrase: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Of course, that major task, major truth, is repeated in Proverbs 1 verse 7, Proverbs 9 verse 10, and its thought is found in many other places in the scriptures. And that thought about wisdom coming from a right relationship with God undergirds all the writings of Moses, the prophets, David, the sons of Korah and Asaph, and the other psalmists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, the writer to the Hebrews, Peter, and even James, the brother of our Lord. All of them wrote to believers of their day, not thinking that their words would be the word of God, but all wanting to communicate what they had discovered about the truth of God out of their right relationship with Him. They had the fear of God, and they therefore communicated wisdom. They knew that getting smart begins with a right view of God, a high view of God, is what John MacArthur, a California preacher, has coined, a high view of God. So come with me to that synagogue in Capernaum where this incident took place that we read in Mark chapter 1, and try and picture it if you can. And if you can't picture the synagogue and Jesus talking and then this incident, then try and just picture here where you are in St. Kay's, in Fishhook, and someone's preaching, whoever it may be, and someone in the building very noisily disturbs the worship by shouting out, "Jesus, I know who you are. Jesus, you're the Holy One of God." Well, so far, so good. The behavior is not quite us, you know, conservative, civilized, orderly people. But Jesus is the Holy One of God. So we kind of pause. But then the shouter goes on, "What do you want from us? I know you've come to destroy us." Whoa, Hornus, as I'd say back in Belleville. What are you going to do with this person now? What is needed from us, and especially from the person leading worship, to deal with this horrible interruption from someone? The short answer is what's needed is wisdom and authority. In dealing with evil and with wrong statements about God, like He's come to destroy us, we need wisdom and authority. Let me tell you of a incident in the Belleville church in the 90s that really echoes what happened in that synagogue in Capernaum. It was a summer evening, as our Cape summers can be. It was a very beautiful one. It was still calm. The evening worship was particularly lovely that night, well led by the elder in charge. And then there was a little noise at the entrance to the church, and a bit like yours at Fishhook, the entrance is at the back of the building. And Elizabeth, who slept in the park next to the church for many years and knew quite well, was making her way into the church. Now, Elizabeth could do two things rather well when she was drunk. She could sing hymns from memory, English and Afrikaans hymns and Likkies choruses, and she could fluke. She could swear badly, and she could curse. So dear Elizabeth comes in, sits quietly at the back, and then later in the service, when the worship leader invited folk to come forward for prayer, while we continue to sing, Elizabeth came forward, kneels at the front, and begins to cry, and then to wail, and then loudly says, Here Jesus, ek gee u alles, ek gee u my hele lewe, alles wat ek het, Here, al my klere, all her clothes. And then she begins to undress. Well, dear worshippers, I want to tell you, it is really hard to keep singing when a fellow worshipper is now shirtless and beginning to struggle with her bra straps. Was Elizabeth full of the Spirit and being convicted of sins and coming forward for prayer? Or was she full of the wrong spirit and just drunk? Was she full of madness, of being alone for so long and being reduced to sleep outside? Was she full of sadness that really almost no one really loved her and took care of her? But where had she learnt all these songs and hymns that she knew? Where had those seeds been planted? The worship leader that night at Belleville was an elder, spirit-filled, who feared the Lord and was wise, and he was given fresh wisdom then and there. He signaled that we should keep singing and let others come forward, while he put a firm arm around Elizabeth to comfort her and to restrain any further undressing. And he scooped up her pathetically thin little shirt, dropped it over her shoulders, and led her away into the vestry to further care for her. He expressed authority and wisdom. We saw the authority and wisdom of Jesus in that night, in that elder Hilton. It's a good story, and I suppose a good story always deserves a good end, and it's great to tell you. Not that night, but about 3 years later, Elizabeth stopped drinking and dried out. It was helped mostly by our church secretary, Carol, to find a job and a clean place to live. And she had a good job until she later died, just of kind of general sickness of being out in the open for so long. In that synagogue, in Capernaum, at the very start of his ministry, Jesus confronted raw evil, wild, ugly, naked evil. And in the face of that evil, Jesus exercised authority and wisdom. And Mark is at pains to tell us twice in the few verses we read that Jesus had authority. Recognized by evil, recognized by the evil spirits, recognized by the people. So just as a little aside to the sermon, fellow worshippers at St. Kieran's, we need leaders at all levels in the Church of Jesus Christ today to have wisdom from a right fear of God and to have authority that is from God. Here's a little prayer guide for you when you're praying for leaders in the church. Lord, give us leaders who are full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, and full of godly authority. To tell you that personally, when I pray for my fellow ministers and elders and for myself, I ask, Lord, please give them, us, me, authority that's from God as we teach and face evil. Lord, please give us humility before God as we face this evil. Lord, give us integrity of heart, just as King David was known to lead his people with integrity. Give us integrity before you and before the congregations. And Lord, give us wisdom in all that matters. Wisdom from on high. Jesus had all these, and his compassion flowed from these things. Well, now, the Deuteronomy passage that we read paints a very simple but striking picture. Moses is telling the people, we are up against evil. Don't be ignorant, he's saying. Don't be naive. And the Spirit of God is saying that to us today. Evil is malevolent. It's not just there in the world. It wants to hurt you. It wants to damage you. It wants to conquer you. Peter, in his letter, says that evil roams around like a hungry lion wanting to devour you. So Moses is passing on wisdom. He's saying other nations practice divination as part of their cultural fabric, but Israel must not. And we, the Church of Jesus Christ, we, the Bride of Christ, must not practice sorcery and divination in any way at all. So calling on anything other than the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is out. It's simply not allowed in our family practices. Church family, no talking to mediums, please. No talking to fortune tellers. No talking to psychics. No visiting fortune tellers. No phoning into some radio programs where it's advertised that some guru or the other will give you your future. As I heard this last week on FM 104 to 107, used to be called the Noble English Service. Oh, times have changed. But here there was a program in the small hours of the morning when I was up, but sleepless. And some turkey saying, if you gave him his name, your name, or rather just gave him your surname, your age, your phone number, and your favorite color, he would be able to tell you what lay ahead this year and for all the rest of your life. Folks, it's not even funny. It's not even ridiculous. It's certainly not entertainment. And it's not permitted by our Father. It's evil. And we don't put a toe in that river. Jesus instead stamps on evil immediately whenever it confronts him. Be quiet, he says. And then come out of him. And because of the authority of Christ Jesus as the Son of God, in the power of the Spirit of God, the evil comes out. Well, you're listening well. And let me go on then to the 1 Corinthians 8 passage that's linked to the other passages today. This passage in Corinthians is about food offered to idols. I know this is a lot, so let me just back up before we look at it and refresh you. I'm trying to persuade you to see, number one, keep Jesus central in all your thinking. Pray to have the mind of Christ. Secondly, evil is out to get you with subtlety and or with threatening ugliness. Resist the devil, says James, and he will flee. Peter says, resist evil. So thirdly, wisdom comes from the right fear of God, responding appropriately to God, having a high view of God. Keep Jesus central. Be careful that evil's out to get you. Have the wisdom that comes from fearing God. And fourthly, Jesus deals with evil as it reveals himself, as itself to him. And we can deal with evil as well. Don't play with evil. Don't walk on the edges of God's will, but jump right into the middle of the middle lane of God's will, as it were. So to 1 Corinthians 8. All meat in the empire was, the Roman Empire, was offered to idols before being sold. And it's a bit like the stamp of approval that's given to many products to be kosher or to be halal, stamped by the Muslim Judicial Council or by the equivalent Jewish Board of Authority. And Paul is telling the church, and through the scriptures, telling us, not to make rules for each other about these things, but to act in love and to have compassion, remembering we have one God and Father who has provided all things for us and through whom we live and one Lord and Savior who has provided all things for us and through whom we live. It's amazing. He repeats these things about Father and Son. He's provided all we need, and we live and move through him. In other words, Paul is saying, focus on God. Don't focus on the evil around you. Don't focus on the fight between people, or how people may respond to evil or believe about evil. But you focus on God. So let me end where we began. Great and glorious is our God. To him belongs eternal praise. He provides all we need in this life and the next. Holy and awesome is his name. My fellow believers, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher, perfecter of our faith. God bless you.